7 furlongs.
Well, okay.
If you do the suggestion, you'll find that, bingo, they just line right up.
Sir.
Why don't you order it like you do any other program? Talk to Mary in the back.
I don't believe it's ordered.
I doubt that. They're not going to hand it to you today. We Howard does not like us selling stuff here. We do it anyway. But basically, we're presenting you with a new tool to solve some really serious problems. If you don't have the problem, don't buy the tool. But I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
The taxes cheaper here?
The taxes, I don't know.
We still have to collect it, though, because it's a California corporation.
No, we don't. It's not if it's out of state. Yes. The simple DOS version, you saw the complicated one, right? The simple one, simply, you type in a number that gives you the numbers. It'll print it, I'll print it out if you want. It will not save you this.
Does it have a help window?
Nope. No. But then again, it doesn't either. It's simple. What it is the Sharp version translated to the IBM. I wrote it myself one evening, and it's a neat little program. But basically, what you do is you type in 45, 110, 2, 3, from the beaten length, the variant to track the track, and bang, it gives you three numbers. You touch a key at the bottom, it'll print them out. But it won't save the disk. You don't need the name of the horse because it does each baseline individually. It does not rank. It doesn't sort. It doesn't do any of that stuff. That's a simple version. And that's essentially what I use to do my handicapping. I do most of my handicapping on 1262 Sharp. And I write them on the racing form in bright red. And if you look at my racing forms, and you occasionally have to print one of the follow-ups. You always see those numbers scroll across there. That's what those numbers have been for the last year. Because that's what I've been doing. And it just sets the race up to the point that it makes it very difficult not to focus in on the horses that are going to win.
Okay.
We're done? We will meet tomorrow. Prayers start at 9.
The question of your lifetime answered and asked on the loudspeaker so that in the crossfire, write your questions down and get them to me before 10 o'clock. And when you sit down next to your neighbor there and say, hey, neighbor, did you send up your question? Because about when this thing starts, people are going to say, oh, God, forget. And because we will not be taking any questions from the floor. They must be pre-asked so that we can make the very best and most succinct and most definitive answers.
Good morning, Howard.
Hi there, Ashley. And make your questions generic to the methodology and not to some specific part of a program. If you want to ask some questions about any given program, ask the those who are endorsing the program on a private basis. So I think Jimmy and Tom, who are going to be answering the questions, have already stated their proclivities and program preferences. You do? Marvelous.
Any of this table up here?
No.
Good.
I don't think so.
If you do, we'll come and take it away from you without your hat.
But do you identify yourself by saying Perko?
Is he open on Sunday?
No. But for those who might be staying, or those of you who live in the area, once he made that statement at a seminar, and people went 3 years later and wanted a discount, and he said, hey, wait, just tell them it's good through 5 o'clock Monday. But if you were ever going to buy anything, this would be the time to do it. Picked up Thermation and are asking some questions that have been answered, but not in sequentia. So I'll do it in sequentia, as we say in Latin, real fast. So let's turn. Will you dim those lights over there? This is only for the people who got Thermation and are still asking some questions about what the screens mean.
That's all right.
Bert Main is, we say Bert Main for Sunday because that's the only time he knows how to speak. But we'll go through this very quickly. Some of you asked questions, and so start with a, like it's coming on for the first time. Well, this is the Burt Main warm-up show, folks. This is just a quick review. You're not quite ready. Bert, you want to sing a hymn or something? Shall we gather by the river? Let's take all the whiskey and all the rum and all the rye and throw it in the river. Let's take all the beer and all the wine and throw it in the river. And now, neighbors, shall we gather by the river? The lights are here. Now, let's see if you can turn that light off. Hit it. How did you turn that light off last night? There you go. Hey, look at that. There's a doctor of education did that. When Spencer's ready, we'll do this. Start with the entrance. Is our machine giving us trouble? Oh, you're adjusting it. That's the American handicap. We're always adjusting something. There is a manual that will send you, all of you who got this program, that, and there will be then there will be an advanced manual based on what we find out from your usage, and then there's the what's in here and what's in the follow up, and then when we write the search for Red October, we've got two books coming up. One's going to be called, we're going to do the 55% solution. We've had requests for that, and we're going to do the handicapping revolution. And we're going to have red coats and blue coats fighting on the cover and all sorts of explosions. It's the cover, really, that sells these books. It's that yellow cover. There we go. No, we're not quite there yet. Have to get to the very first screen.
Before this one?
Yeah, the very first, whatever's before. Okay, this is let's just hit load a file from disk as so you can see how the entry screen works for those of you who, and put now hold, let me stop here. When Jimmy put this on, so if you can't remember the name of the race that you entered, like HOL 922816, and you forget, oh my God, what did I call that? If you want to just call it race number one, number two, up through nine on a day's card, that's all you have to do. Now, if you want to enter by your own code or call up a race by your own card, you hit the L button. Spencer will now hit the L button. Now, up there it says name of file to load. Whether you see it or not, it does say that.
There it is.
Now he's going to put in LG1 or whatever.
This is a race
we did at Long Acres. And then he says it's loaded. And so long as you're not, you'll be able to read the next instruction is, do you want to see the kinetic generator? It defaults to yes. Spencer, please don't run ahead of me like that. Okay, what you want to do is it gives you the opportunity to scratch. It also gives you the opportunity to review the screen as you entered it. And here it is. Say yes. Okay, now prior to this time, all of our screens had a single screen where you entered all the horses and their beaten legs and what have you. In this case, somewhat more clearly on your own computer screen, you will see the name of the horse, the distance, the first call, second call, final call, first call beaten legs, second call beaten legs, stretch call beaten legs, and final beaten legs. You can put in as many horses as you want or as many lines from a given horse as you want. And after you're through putting them in, it says, and he scratches. If you choose to take out certain lines after reviewing how they look, I mean, if you see one horse runs it in 148 and 4, and one of them's running in 143, you may want to scratch the one that runs it in 148 and 4, although a lot of you don't. But I would suggest that one horse is running supremely faster than the other, you see it visually, you might choose to To say either to yourself, if that horse belongs, I'm going to have to give it one heck of an adjustment, or it doesn't belong. So you can pretty well see visually whether a horse belongs. Not so much on our machine this morning. It's hung over, I guess. But anyway, you can scratch, and then you go to the next screen, hit the next button, just taking you button through button.
Ten.
Ten at a time.
Anybody
needs to put in more than ten, put them in ten at a time. If you have a 12-horse race and you want to see them all, scratch two before you put the other two in. Or buy another program and get another computer and put the other one on the other computer. I mean, this is how you get it down to five. There are a lot of ways to get it down to five, but putting all 12 in it would take a little more time. Now, if you want to add some horses, or you want to review again, this option comes up. So you say no.
Now,
Jimmy went through the automatic projector.
How do you use it?
Some of you are going to say yes just because it's there. Every one of you is a Sir James Hillary. You want to climb Everest because it's there. If it says you want to make an adjustment, how many of you can resist saying no? You got to say yes. Yeah, I want to make an adjustment.
Yes, I
want to automatically project.
You
got all horses running six furlongs. Let's project them.
But
it's not going to do it. It's going to say no, tilt. I won't project. The automatic projector is most effective when a horse is going from one sprint distance to another sprint distance, or one route distance to another route distance. When you project a sprinter into a route, you have to be very careful. Sometimes you'll need to still make a two adjustment. What it does is show you on the screen, say yes, it does, and see what happens. Here's what's important. If you wish to save that race disc the way you originally entered it, with the different distances in there, now's the time you have to say yes. Sorry, but you say yes then. Otherwise, you will save it projected, and you may not want to save it projected. So if you save it now, you will get it the way you originally entered it. And if you see, it's projected all these horses to a 6.5 furlong race, and it's going to be that way for all time to come. So what you do is save it first, and then at the end, save it with a different name, and you'll have two versions of the same race. It has a sprinter route multiplier, yes. Please, I'm going through every screen. Don't anticipate. Do something, Spencer. This has now been projected, and there's no way to take it back unless you re-enter the race. So we did that. We had a review. Now hit the next button slowly. And this time when it says automatic projector, say no, because you've already done it. Some of these things are common logic, which is, with horse players, is very uncommon. Now you get a pretty good picture of the race. You get the ESP time. Now, we've already discussed the difference between visual ESP, positions in the race, and energy ESP. If you will go through your blue manual when you're on the way home or when you get there, you will notice that every horse that won the Breeders' Cup except 4-1 was a sustained pace horse, or in the case of Black Tie Affair, a sustained pace presser. What did the world think that Black Tie Affair was? Our program said that Black Tie Affair was a sustained pace presser. That is the advantage you have over the public. So it tells you, in this case, you've got two non-early horses. One of is Olympia, and one is Merle. You have to look at their right now, look at their third fraction and see if they have a significant advantage over the early horses, and they don't. And this is a screen where you can say, hey, wait a minute, the reason you see so many horses in this is I did it the way I thought that the client would do it. Took the top speed rating and variant and put them all in. Okay, now you've projected this race. They're all 6.5 to today's distance, and you don't see any marked advantage of those two that are listed sustained over the early. So you can pretty well figure one of those horses with a 69-something median energy is going to win the race. Next train. Now this is the one that everybody should not bypass, but should read and memorize. It tells you if the total energy from high to low is 2.0 or greater, or you might find that's 1.85 at your particular track. Don't be held by a specific number. Then you might, or may, it says, may. This does not say automatically push 2 if it's... You may need to use the adjustment. Then there's another warning. Caution, be sure the horse is a true contender before using the alternate adjustment. And that is the one's caution screen that if we could whisper to you in the middle of the night, for those who sometimes misuse the programs with this feature, that we would be whispering it to you every time you enter a horse. Make sure that you have true contenders before you adjust the slow horses to be as good as the faster ones. It's on the program you just got. Did you not get the program?
Well, then it's on the
program. What do you think? Al, would I cheat you? You don't remember seeing it, Al. That's why I'm reviewing it. Darling, we would never give you something to other people we wouldn't give to you. You have got this on your program. In fact, you've had it for months. You know why you don't get it? Because you say no to the kinetic generator. That first question it asks you, use kinetic generator, yes or no? You say no, you won't get this. So say yes.
Does it only come up when there's that difference? It doesn't just remind you randomly. I noticed that if the total energy difference is greater, then that screen comes up and says...
Jimmy's got another version that we're working on. Where the warnings never come up unless you make the goof that produces the warning.
Go ahead. Next screen.
Okay. Now, for those of you who fell in love with the multiplier,
that was on there.
Then there's the projection. Hit the projection one so we can show you what that does. This gives you a deceleration factor. It projects the race to those times which you're seeing on the screen when you use the projector anyway, but it's giving you a deceleration factor. Note that Sensi's deceleration factor is 6.70. That means it's about 6.70 units of for half furlong, the difference between the 6 and 6.5. Now look at the next horse. He's 6.75. He's got a lowest best.
And the next one. 6.8.
He decelerates quite rapidly.
Next.
6.8 again. This is something that when you look at the deceleration factor, this is something you'll make something out of it if you wish to, and if you don't wish to, forget it. The horse that decelerates the least when going an additional half furlong might be the best one in the race. Yes, sir?
No.
It's a deceleration factor, but it doesn't matter. Low is the least deceleration, high is the most deceleration.
Not feet per second.
Feet per second is... Okay. Now we've seen that. This is so that you won't look at hidden screens and wonder what they are. Now go back to the...
To life.
There's a horse...
So our best horse
was 6.70, the least. Now it says, re-enter all true contenders using the new distance, new times, and pace. This is if you don't want to use the automatic. Most people have chosen to use the automatic. This is just there for those who are rocket scientists and want to do it on their own.
Next case.
Now you can save it. If you save it now, you will save it as you saw it. If you save it the first time, you'll save it as you entered it. So that you can save it both ways by calling it something else when you save it now. Say no.
Now an old race. No.
We've already done that.
Hit the button.
Bang.
Okay.
We've tried all of these. The record, there's a record keeper in here. Now hit three.
This is probably the one
that people won't use and is the most important screen for those of you who have difficulty in eliminating non-contenders. Sensi ran against that pace, 36-41, 33-71, and 30-44.
He has his ratio to that pace was 97-88, 123. So in the last two fractions of the race, Sensi overcame the pace of the race he ran against.
Next horse.
Olympia had a very weak ratio to his first fraction, came on strong against. So what you want to do is compare the fractions that this horse ran against, the pace of the race, as opposed to other contenders. Where did we hit that? Hit the C. What back? Hit the B. What was it? Jimmy, is it B or C? Which one do we hit to go back?
R.
Hit R. Now, if you want to go back,
you just did it.
You just did it, Spencer.
You hit R.
If you say, well, I forgot what that other one ran against. See, you hit R. Oh, there's what he ran against. Then you go forward. Go forward now. Just now, 33:16. You say turn time. Okay, now let's go back and see what Sensi did. 33:71. So there you have a chance to compare without printing it out. Sensi ran against a faster.
All three fractions ran faster.
Against a faster pace. So it gives you an opportunity, and you'll see. Go to Merle L. See, that crucial game in second in this race ran. Here's a horse that ran against mediocre fractions and made a little move in the middle, then dawdled, so his ratio is not very good. It's a horse you'd probably throw out. Okay, that's very well reviewed in this blue manual. We don't have to go over that. I just want you to know it's there. And that's for people who are having difficulty putting in the horses that don't belong, who ran against weak races, ran well maybe against a weak race, it'll get rid of them for you. Okay, next case. And then it does it with all of them. You see who the weak horses are. The records in the review, the records that Jimmy showed you how to keep those, you just enter your own winners to keep a kind of a record. The review is just what it is. You review what you've already done. Now go to the next one. Now, in this case, it does not require, we've equalized the distance, does not require anything but an automatic adjustment. So it defers the one adjustment. Now, very quickly, let's review some of the things you get a chance to see here. Hit two, or hit, is there a one?
Yeah.
Hit KHDC pace. If he's confused, you don't use them. These give you various looks at the race.
It shows
Olympia dawdling and coming up in the final. Don't think that the final one is the winner of the race. Just see him all the way across. If you see Sensi starts second, moves up to the top, and then comes out second, that's the winner of the race. The three horse, Krush, comes up as first in the early, second in the median, and third in the late. If you want to make little ratings on this, do line scores on anything that pleases you. If one of these confuses you, don't use it. Don't feel you have to use it just because it's there. It's not Mount Everest. Next button. Kinetic pace gives you a view of the race from a kinetic potential of the horses, and pretty much validates the previous screen. So there's really not much there. That's the kinetic potential, deceleration, and kinetic potential relationships. Next screen. Some of you will fall. Now remember the various in energy where you've got the UXR and the EMUV and the SMUV and the UXR. Some people could look at that and see, but saw not.
So instead of having you say
which one is best,
which one has the lowest,
and which one has the least deceleration, we put it on a graph. So put it number three. That is your UXR, EMUV, SMUV. It says that Sensi has the lowest UXR, which is best. That's the winner of the race, incidentally. It says Olympia, who looked pretty good on one of those, is fifth. It says that Krush, who came in second, is second. So this is a true picture of the EMUV, SMUV, UXR, which you all had in energy. But it's graph for those who had confusion, were confused by looking at numbers. And it also shows a kind of an evenness in Sensi, second, first, and first. And the place horse is first, second, and second, which is a pretty good indication.
Next. matchup case. This is pretty much a fractional look at the race.
Those are
actual fractions where they relate to the fractions.
Next screen.
So you.
Now these are the
ones that people are supposed to look at, but very frequently don't look at the numbers. So when you put them in a pie chart,
let's look at the
median energy pie. There's a pie chart. Now you can look to see who has the most median energy. You say to yourself, well, let's see, what's the highest number there? Well, we got a couple of 69s, 33s. We got a couple of lows at 67, 58s, pretty low.
And the ones in
69 are obviously
ahead of the others.
Now let's see how they did on the next pie graph.
The turn time pie.
Well, it's all right, Spencer.
Jump ahead of me.
Turn time pie. Well, we see that Sensi and Krush.
Lewinsky,
they all had a pretty good turn time.
The only one that didn't is Merle, Fleet.
They all ran pretty well on the turn. So the ones that got to the second call first overcame the fact that most of them were tied very close to being together, except for Fifth and Merle.
Okay.
Is there one more there?
Yeah, I want to hit eight.
What you can do is, you talked about phase one last night, where you look at things, you can look at all three. You can look at second call, final fraction, turn time.
So what you have is a pretty even race.
They're all over 30. The only horses that dawdled were the ones that were way behind on the second call.
And outside of that, the race ran pretty even.
Once they got to the second call, the third fraction did not overcome enough for it to be important.
So if you're still in doubt, you press nine.
Press nine.
By Sensi,
Crucial is a place horse. Now hit six. The first six. That's the.
Hit six is your first.
That's your sustained pace one, which is your counter energy, which shows that sustained pace horse Olympia would be one of your bets. But Sensi, who won the race, would still be your
a choice to win.
So Sensi now hit six again.
So you see Sensi.